Board People Mover. Is that still out?
Oh, it's out for the entire summer.
Holy shit. Yeah.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
It's episode 195 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations, and it's just Foz and I today. How you doing, Foz?
Not too bad. I feel like I haven't talked to you in ages.
I know. I feel like, well, I mean, we had the holiday break, and we haven't spoken since the other, episode 193.
Wow.
You've been in Vegas. I mean, you've just been busy gambling, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I wish it was that.
and Seth is in Sydney right now. He's at the IATA conference. Which there's some interesting news. Let's just touch on that really quick. I saw something that Seth posted on Twitter probably 15 minutes ago before we started recording this. Star Alliance is talking about a couple of things. One, they're looking at releasing more seats for rewards across the Alliance. And as part of that, they're talking about dynamic pricing of awards. So I don't know if we should be excited or scared or what, but that worries me a little bit when people say dynamic pricing.
Okay, so let's first address the whether you should be scared or excited. Have any of these changes ever gone in our favor?
No.
So there we go.
True. You're very right. And then on top of that, they're hinting at another level above Star Gold, potentially. Now, I don't know what benefits they could offer. Like Seth pointed out in his post, Star Alliance has a lot fewer Star Alliance first lounges across the network.
Right, but yes and no, right? The Polaris lounges definitely change that.
Yep.
If you start considering in that category, right? So, I think it could be a good move, and I've long thought that Star Gold is just too generic.
Mm.
Right? It's like you're either like, take United, 4 tiers, 1 tier Star Silver, 3 tier Star Gold. So there's a huge saturation.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. I mean, what other kind of benefits would you offer for someone who's, say, a star, if we just keep with the analogy of metal, Star Platinum or whatever they're going to call it?
Star Possible. Obviously lounges and probably a different check-in experience, but what do you, like, on One World, there isn't much you get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are the two major things.
Yeah. Yeah. Lounge access, check-in.
Yeah, and so, sometimes a little extra attention on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really about it. So I mean there's not a lot to offer. I mean you could definitely offer something in case of air ops.
That's what I was thinking, was like if you're in Munich or another hub, Vienna or something, and you have air ops, there's no longer 50 Star Golds or 100 Star Golds from a few planes dealing with. It's 20 Star Plats, 100 mm-hmm. Star Golds in a line, and then everybody else. I think that's a huge benefit. That would be big.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the counterpoint that I pose is, as the relevance of alliances continues to fade, is it really worth it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's true. I think so, though. I mean, I'm torn on it a little bit, yeah.
The alliances aren't completely irrelevant, but basically, at this point, where all the alliances are going is, unless you're part of the JV, you're the bastard stepchild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and at the same time, we've seen now One World is taking in who is it, Fiji Air, in like a new, what is it? What are they calling it? One World Connection or something, where they're allowing them into the alliance, but it's like less benefits.
Well, who thought that we'd have varsity and junior varsity in the airline industry?
Who gets picked first for the softball team?
Exactly.
It's true. Yeah, I just thought those were interesting things. That's what Seth's doing right now. Let's talk about engines. I think we've talked engines to death on this show.
But
we're going to keep beating it. It's not dead yet, Jim. It's not dead yet. Rolls-Royce continues to have problems with their engines. And they released a statement, and so I'll let you talk about that statement, and then we can talk about everyone this is impacting and kind of what it's doing across the industry.
Yeah, so Rolls-Royce has, they've issued a formal statement, and anyone can go read it on their website, and we can post a link there. But the gist of it is, they know there's a problem with the engines, with the, I think it's a C package engine, but they still haven't figured out how to fix it. which is truly surprising to me given how long these problems have been going on. And they're hoping for to identify a fix by the end of the summer or in the fall, which still means that we're a while away from truly having repairs done.
Yeah.
And you just like got to sit there and scratch your head going, what the
– so this is impacting pretty much – it's impacting both Airbus and Boeing planes, right? I mean, I think there's – so there's 787s are the probably the biggest – group that's impacted, but then there's also the Airbus A320s and A321s, I think.
Airbus is impacted by two different engine problems.
Mm.
So one is the Rolls-Royce and one is the 321neo engine issue, the Pratt & Whitney one.
Okay.
So Airbus is getting screwed by both sides at the moment, but that's a different... I'm trying to keep it clean here. Yeah. But Rolls-Royce is, I mean, Boeing is definitely getting really beat up on this in regards to 77. I mean, we just went through the list, you know, it was, we know ANA is impacted. We know, you have the list, right?
Let me see if I have it right here. We have TAP, Air New Zealand, Norwegian, LAN, and BA.
Well, and TAP is interesting because TAP doesn't have any 78s.
So where is all of their engine issues coming from? Somewhere else, or
I think those are that's a NEO problem because they have a bunch of 320 series planes on order.
Oh, gotcha.
But I mean, you know, the company to be a part of right now is HiFly. Seth made a comment going, it's not even clear they have any planes left with how many substitutions they're doing right now. Norwegian has, I think, two or three of them. They're Newark-Paris, Newark-Barcelona, and I think LA-Barcelona or LA-Madrid are all subbed for an extended period of time right now. LAN just got a Vamos plane.
747.
The 747. The bizarre one is Air France is leasing the Air Belgium plane on certain days of the week when I guess Air Belgium's not flying their route.
Yeah, yeah. And they're flying one route three times a week or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's Air New Zealand, who I saw they're flying – there's a HiFly 343 flying Nadi Fiji to Auckland. That's what they've got it doing. Because I think that's really, I mean, I guess they could push the limits and maybe, you know, fly to China or something with it. But yeah.
I mean, you're also not going to put it any place where there's high revenue, right? Yeah. You're going to put the low revenue routes get impacted first. So the first takeaway from all this is pay attention to your carriers. And if they happen to be, if you're on a 787 or a 320neo, take a look to see if it's actually being operated by said plane.
Yeah, are the 321neos not having the same issue?
They must be, because I think the SATA one is a 321.
Yeah, and that's another carrier we didn't talk about. So SATA, the carrier of the Azores, and I've seen Hawaiian have some issues as well. I've seen their plane subbed out every now and then. So,
well, Hawaiian also dropped a bunch of routes. They had to postpone a bunch of routes because they didn't have planes to fly them.
Yeah, yeah. So, and SATA was using – who were they using the other day? They were using HiFly, I think. For a route, like they were flying, I think it was Toronto to Punta Delgada or something. just hilarious. Yeah, so yeah, watch out for your substitutions on your reservations through at least the end of the year, it sounds like.
Well, I don't know if we have a definite an idea of when the Pratt & Whitney problem gets resolved, but Rolls-Royce has said they're expecting parts to start being available late 2018. Given their punctuality thus far, I wouldn't even expect anything till next year.
So they think just like it's like a, just a part fix that they need to make, and so they're shipping out replacements?
Well, that's where they're re-engineering a part of the engine.
Oh. You know, after it's in production, let's just re-engineer the thing. That's a great idea.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, think of how long it will take to like do these in-shop repairs, because it's not like you just replace a blade. This is, I think it's one of the compressors in the middle. So you basically have to take the whole thing apart.
So they drop the engine, take it off, do the work, put the engine back on.
This is why we see airplanes without engines all over the world right now.
Yeah, I was looking. I think in Chile, in Santiago, there's like a picture of four maybe 787s, maybe even an Airbus out there that are just sitting on a taxiway.
Yeah, there's a bunch in there's a couple in Heathrow now too, the Virgin planes.
Huh. Who? What is Virgin doing? Are they leasing from somebody, or
so they are? So they've done a few different things. They are they pulled one or two planes out of the desert.
Yeah,
And then they've also they've swapped some routes with Delta, so Delta's taken over some of the routes as part of the JV.
Gotcha. Do you think, I mean, this begs the question then, do these airlines need to then pull planes out of the desert? Will we see people buying up, you know, old frames or leasing old frames?
I actually think we will. I would not be surprised if that increases. And the reality is, I don't think all the Rolls Royces that need to be grounded have been grounded yet.
Yeah, I mean, who else has them? A&A?
A&A has 50, right? We talked about this on a show a while ago. They were actually contemplating replacing all their engines.
Yeah. And if they do that, that's a huge effort, and you'll have to take planes out of service. And depending on how quickly you want to do it, you have to take a lot of planes out of service.
Right, but I mean, I think they already have a bunch of planes out of service. I think one of the reasons ANA is not as impacted at the moment is because they're doing a lot of small routes, domestic Japan routes.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I'm not certain if these planes are just restricted on ETOPS or they just can't fly at all.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, crazy, man. It's crazy. Let's see here. Yeah, and we were talking about Air France leasing that Air Belgium 343. I didn't realize Air Belgium had actually started their route from Charleroi to Hong Kong. And that started today. We're recording this on Sunday. I believe it started today, which is interesting. And it's going to do that three times a week, I think. And
that's crazy.
I had no idea there was a demand there, but I guess there is. In other bizarre news, China Eastern has announced that they are going to fly a two-off charter operation from Pittsburgh to Shanghai.
But it's not your typical charter. That's what's weird about this. This is being subsidized by the Pittsburgh Airport and a couple of their local associations. So it's not like it's a true-off charter, like a bunch of Chinese people want to go to Pittsburgh or vice versa. They are actually marketing these flights as a two-off.
And they're selling packages, it looks like.
And they're selling packages. So, I mean, my one question comes up, is this a attempt at China Eastern to grab Pittsburgh to Shanghai as a route so no one else can?
Yeah, do they get route authority since they've now flown this twice?
Exactly.
It's a good question. I think, you know, that could be part of it. I also think there is a market for Chinese tour groups and things, people going to China just to learn about it and visit. Why they would do this twice, I'm not really sure. But the subsidy from the city of Pittsburgh makes me wonder if they're trying to like grow some kind of manufacturing or tech sector there.
They're doing it twice because the one is the first trip of the plane and the second is the second trip of the plane.
Oh, okay.
And they're spacing it out, I think, by a month and a half or something. I don't remember the exact amounts, but it's just a random thing. And I think it's a 77W.
That's a lot of people.
I know.
But, I mean, do you think it could be that, like trying to maybe lure some business from China into Pittsburgh and using this as a, hey, go visit China, go visit Shanghai. I mean, it's a big, you know, port city, and see where Pittsburgh could, you know, partner with China.
Right, but is dropping $500,000 the right – $500 million, excuse me – the right approach on this?
Oh, that I don't know. I mean, I think
– it's not like they're giving a $5,000 or something. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars in play here. So if you really want to attract people, why not first garner the interest of getting people out there, you know, be through a connection or something? You don't need to run a flight for that.
True. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's definitely weird. Are you going to try to get on it? I don't think they've released any award space. We have to check Delta.
No, because I don't think you can use miles on it because it has to be booked through a travel agency.
Gotcha.
Because it's being operated as a charter.
This being Dots, Lines, and Destinations, I just figured, of all people, you would probably be the most interested in this.
It sounds pretty nifty, but it's not worth the money for what it is. I will just take my chances on Newark, Shanghai, waiting for a diversion to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about another line. I mean, we've talked about Pittsburgh, Shanghai, but what's coming back, and I completely forgot about this when we were doing the pre-show prep, is Singapore, Newark, Singapore nonstop with the A350-900 ultra long range.
Yes.
And that starts up in October, I believe.
It does.
And that's a restart of service that was, I guess, it ended maybe 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
2014 is the date, I believe. So 4 years ago.
And I never got a chance to fly it. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a two-class product. So previously, I mean, it went from a economy, premium economy, business class product to a premium economy business class product to just a business class product. And now this, the A350 is going to be configured in business and premium economy. And the flight is what, about 18, 19 hours, something like that?
Yes. Yep.
I would love to do it just for, to say I did it. I'm thinking back to LA, Singapore and how long that was. And I still question my sanity.
Well, I would do it eastbound and not westbound.
Is it that much shorter?
It doesn't matter. I will think it's shorter.
Because you're gonna be home at the end of it?
Well, there is that. That's part of it. But, you know, I can go home and pass on, do what I want. You know, it's like, I know what you mean about LA-Singapore, and I'm doing Houston-Sydney next month.
You prepping your compression socks now?
I'm trying not to even think about it. Try not to even think about it. And my upgrade cleared, so that's grateful.
Yeah, it's good.
But I mean, these ultra long hauls, you got to just wonder. At least it's a 7-8. Because the trade off is on the way out, I'm doing Houston Sydney. On the way back, I'm doing Sydney Dallas.
On the A380.
On the A380.
Are you at least in biz on that one?
No, I'm in first.
Ooh, you found. Oh, that's right. That's back when I couldn't book my Alaska award. So
yeah. When they accidentally opened up for like 20 minutes.
All space. Well, that'll be fun.
It will.
It's a long time in the air, but you know, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you ever get Newark, Singapore?
No.
No. We know our former producer, I call him former because he hasn't been on the show in a while. He flew that, I think, twice or three times at least.
I feel like he's done it like half a dozen times.
Yeah, and every time he talks about the Duncan that you get on board. So we'll see if that continues with this restart.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see what they do about award space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd love to do the inaugural, but we're doing Dallas, Hong Kong the month before. And the thought of going back to Asia to do an inaugural back does not appeal to me.
Flying there to fly back, yeah, it's tough to swallow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there was any other aviation route news recently that I forgot, but I don't think so. The Chicago People Mover is undergoing an outage for the rest of the summer.
I'd like to know who thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, peak season. Hey, let's just shut her down.
let's add a bunch of international routes. Let's start this whole thing. And oh, by the way, we're just going to shut this down. You know, don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't get it.
So for those of you that have never experienced the O'Hare People Mover or doing an international flight in O'Hare, one of the things that absolutely blows about O'Hare is all international flights, irrelevant of the carrier, go to the international terminal. So whether it's United, American, Delta, whoever, you go to the international terminal. Well, when you have to connect, you actually have to go out of the terminal, take this train, that'll take you back to the main terminal complex.
Yep.
And that is the train we are talking about.
And it connects all the terminals. It connects one of the parking lots, and it connects the car rental, right?
Not the car rental. And that parking lot you're thinking of has been closed because it looks like they're building a new central consolidated rental car facility, which is where that train will eventually go.
So wait, where's the rental car? You take a bus to the rental car.
Yep. Each company runs their own bus.
Gotcha. So you're connecting. I mean, you're talking about all the terminals being disconnected now. So are they running a shuttle between the stops?
Yes. There is some sort of bus service. If you're flying American, the nice thing is American actually runs buses from – if you're coming in domestic and going to JAL or BA, they actually run buses from their terminal over to the international terminal, so you don't have to go out and do the whole hokey pokey.
Yeah.
But coming in from an international destination, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's always surprised me, like, because Swiss flies out of the international terminal and a few other Star Alliance carriers, I think SAS. But United doesn't run any kind of connection over there.
Everyone except Lufty
and ANA.
And ANA flies out of the international terminal.
Yeah, which is – it's surprising that United doesn't have something for those folks.
I think they just don't connect that many people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, so I was actually thinking, before the show I was telling you this, but I was actually thinking of – I have a London trip I'm planning and was looking at coming back through Chicago, and I had no idea about this closure. But that immediately makes my decision easy to not connect in Chicago. Because even the People Mover at times, if it's a busy time of the day, can be packed. And you'll be sitting – I mean, you'll wait. You can wait a good 15 minutes sometimes.
Oh, that People Mover is not an appealing thing in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, and it still amazes me in this day and age that they still haven't moved international arrivals for the core carriers back into the core building. Why they force everyone to do this Terminal 5 stuff? Because Terminal 5 is awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're talking now about a new terminal there, right? A new international terminal?
Yes.
Isn't that being discussed? I'm surprised, too. They have the basement space in some of the terminals, I would think, for immigration.
They could definitely do something. I mean, United would be a little harder.
Yep.
Because they have got the C pier. But, I mean, they could definitely do something if they wanted to. But, I mean, this has been like this for decades, right? You'd think by now they could figure this stuff out, but they have not.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting if they actually address this as part of the whole O'Hare renovation that they're just kicked off or about to kick off, if they'll finally move all the or if they'll finally distribute the customs facilities.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting stuff. Bombardier is having some issues. So let's start this off. I'll start it off with they're having issues that aren't plane related. They're train related. So go ahead and tell people what's going on.
Yeah, so not only have they just pretty much screwed themselves on the plane side of the house, they apparently, the fallout has reached the train side as well. And there's an article that I was just reading the other day. New York City has an order for like 200-something, 300-something subway cars that they were supposed to start delivering a couple of years ago, or by now they were supposed to have a substantial number of them. To date, they have delivered two. And it's so bad that they put out a bid a few months ago for the next round of subway cars, and they explicitly banned Bombardier from being allowed to bid.
Wow, that's big.
You got to wonder, what are these people doing up in Montreal?
Yeah, not building trains.
Well, because we know their monorail systems aren't all that efficient either, because they keep shutting down.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know what to say about this. I think it's... I mean, it's kind of insane if you have a contract to deliver something. It almost seems like these companies are stretched. And I'm thinking of Rolls-Royce. Now I'm thinking of Bombardier. They're stretched to the point where the product they're producing either isn't up to standards or it's not being delivered on time because of how much they've committed. And they made these deals, right? They want to get out ahead of the competition. And so they make sweet, sweet deals and then can't deliver. And it's coming back to bite them.
Well, in an epic form, no less. But I mean, but the thing with let's focus on the Bombardier train thing. I don't understand how they would misjudge that. It's not like it's a brand new product. Mm-hmm. The train, you know, they've been making trains for some amount of time.
Yeah.
Right. So the question comes: how do you misjudge this? Right. And I'm sure that there's definitely some customization to the New York City trains, but it can't be that off the wall.
Yeah.
Right. They have eight wheels and they go on metal tracks. I mean, they're giant metal chassis, right?
Yeah.
And you would think Bombardier has pretty much figured that part of the business out because their trains are everywhere, but clearly they have not. So you got to wonder, like, how are they misjudging? What is actually the cause of all this? And so the one thing that in the case of Bombardier, the thing I question is, did they pull resources from the train side for the CS series?
Because they've been getting a lot of orders, right? Who was it that just ordered? Air Baltic ordered a bunch of CS-300s?
Yep.
Yeah, it could be.
And have they been – and, you know, and it might not be – it probably isn't reallocating labor. It's probably reallocating funds for parts.
Mm. So from suppliers and things.
Right, because I'm sure they don't have a stellar credit rating right now given all their troubles.
So you think like maybe something's getting held up in the supply chain and they've reallocated all this money over to the plane side. They don't have the ability to go buy other parts that they need.
Well, I'm wondering if that's what's going on. Because how else would you misjudge a train order?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, how would you missell that? Like, oh, we know we can deliver these trains by the end of the year, and then you've delivered two.
Yeah, and it's not like you're off by, you know, a few. You're off by dozens.
Yeah, yeah. Has New York City said who else they're considering then for the other trains?
I haven't said. I know I haven't seen that, but I know like in the past, a bunch of the existing trains are made by Kawasaki. Because Kawasaki, because they've made so much stuff for New York, they have a plant up in Yonkers, New York.
Ah.
So they do some final assembly there, but they bring in these chassis from somewhere in the middle of the country. So the chassis are built somewhere in the middle of the country, then they're trained or trucked up to a Yonkers for assembly.
Interesting. Very interesting. Speaking of spare parts, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. I completely forgot about the story, too. Brussels Airlines is canceling a bunch of flights on their SSJs, on the Sukhoi Superjet, because they are lacking spare parts. So get those flights while you can, because I don't know how long they're going to be around.
They can't just borrow some parts from Barbie's Dream Jet?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think there's some illusion somewhere that they could, you know, scatter up a altimeter or something from, but you never know, I guess.
It's all plastic parts anyways.
Yeah, I think it's – so they're saying, you know, Interjet, the Mexican low-cost carrier, flies the Superjet as well. I haven't seen any cancellations from them, but Brussels Airlines is saying, hey, we don't have enough spare parts to keep our planes continually flying. And so they're kind of like going in and digging parts out of one plane and putting them in another to keep the routes going.
They sent some people to Air India's mechanic school?
Yep.
Wow.
Air India school of keeping your planes flying.
Just prop that one up on some cinder blocks. That's
it'll
okay.
It'll be fine.
Leave it out in the front yard. That's fine. People know. They can find us that way.
When the grass gets high enough, we move the plane. Anyway, anything else? Any other stories? I noticed the other day that there's this low-cost carrier that we had talked about on a previous show flying San Francisco to Paris, Orly, no less. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the name that we were talking about. I'm not sure we ever mentioned it. But the name of the carrier is actually French B.
Yes.
And they're flying it on an A350-900.
Yes, French B. I'm trying to remember. We did talk about this, and they changed their name.
Because they were flying to Tahiti, right? Like that was – it was going to be Tahiti, yes, to San Francisco.
It used to be called French Blue.
Ah.
And they renamed it to French B.
Interesting. Very interesting. I don't know why they would do that, but okay.
Because there's too many blues in the air?
Yes. But anyway, I saw this flight flying the other day and thought it was interesting, so I wanted to bring it up to you. Anything else that you can think of that you were wanting to talk about?
Oh, so the reason French B renamed themselves is because they want to avoid legal claims by JetBlue.
Ah.
So what they should have done is use the word for blue in French.
Ah, which is what?
I don't remember.
Did you take French?
I did.
You learn something new about you every day.
But see, Azul got by because they used it in Portuguese.
Ah, yes, this is true.
Just to finish up the prior thought, the one question that I keep asking myself is, will Rolls-Royce survive this? Because they've already been on the brink once before, or possibly more than once before. Will they survive this? Because this seems to be – I mean, you got to figure, what is it actually – because Rolls-Royce is the one paying for all these high-fly and Vamos charters.
Yep.
It's not the airlines.
Yeah, yeah. So they're bleeding money every time
One
of these planes takes off.
Exactly. And we know that these are not generally cheap based on all the information we've gotten from, you know, the information that Norwegian has talked about how expensive it is and needing to control that. One question is, will Rolls-Royce survive? B, if they go into a dire state, will the British government bail them out?
I would think they would have to because it's such a big company.
Can they bail them out, given all the uncertainty around Brexit and all the other things going on right now?
That's another good question, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And how many times do you bail someone out?
Dude, I don't know.
These are all hypothetical questions. I'm not putting you on the spot. But you have to – like, if as an airline executive, you have to ask yourself, why would I even consider putting a Rolls-Royce engine on my plane at this point?
It's a good question. Yeah, I think a lot of carriers, as they go forward with their purchasing options, are going to be looking and saying, "I'm not sure I want Rolls-Royce engines on my plane."
But then that's a new problem for Rolls-Royce, right? If there's no pipeline, they clearly have some obligation to fix what they have. But if there's no pipeline, it becomes a chicken and egg problem because they have nothing to further fund some of the other activities.
Mm. Yeah. It's a big problem. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm thinking about what the British government could do. Honestly, if there was no Brexit scenario, you could say the EU would potentially step in, right? Because this impacts Airbus, this impacts Boeing and plane sales and airlines, and they may take a stand.
The EU could still step in because it impacts Airbus.
It's true. They could step in and take over.
Yeah. they absolutely could.
Yeah. Which I'm mean, not sure. Could, I'm not sure that's a good thing.
I guess it depends on your perspective. From a worker's perspective, from an airline perspective, it might be a good thing just because it at least shows you a future.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to see how it plays out. Any other thoughts? Closing thoughts?
No. It's summer season. It's officially time to stay home.
You generally avoid travel in the summer, so.
I try to. I try to.
Oh, man. Aren't you, don't you have, you have a trip coming up besides Sydney?
I've got Sydney at the end of July, and I might have a domestic trip or two, but nothing really. The Polaris Lounge in Newark opens tomorrow, so I might have to make an international trip to go pop in there.
Go check it out.
Go check it out.
Did you get a chance to check out the one in San Francisco?
I have not been to San Francisco since it opened.
Yeah. I fly through there tomorrow. I don't have time to go there, and I'm not on an international ticket, so I won't be checking it out.
Well, the second problem is easy to fix, but if you don't have time, that's a different issue.
Yeah, I have like an hour connection, so I can run there and then run back to my gate.
Do you really think you have an hour connection?
No, it's probably like 10 minutes, but...
Okay. I just want to set the expectation.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical.
I know you haven't traveled in two weeks, so, you know, I just wanted to remind you.
I'm rusty. Yeah. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the show. You can follow us on Twitter at DotsLines, moredotsmorelines.com. Leave us a comment. We love to hear from our listeners. And if you have questions or things you'd love us to talk about, then we can do that. Thanks for listening and happy travels. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.